Good stuff. Good, good stuff. And Michael, not Mike, where are you, Michael? There's only good stuff ahead of you, brother. Only good stuff. It's going to be short this morning. I have just a couple things to encourage you as we close. And it was a blessing hearing the testimonies, and you know, it's a neat to see what God does in people's lives, and seeing what God said to you, and I know that some of these things that you guys shared, you know, ministered to all of us, and that's a good thing. And it is for most of us a scary thing to step up in front of a mic, and especially when you share your heart and to share that honesty and that transparency. But you know, when you start doing that, that's like the first step to really saying, God, I surrender. And not letting your flesh and your worries and your fears to dictate, you know, what you do. Because what makes this journey with Christ so wonderful is allowing it to just, when you to surrender, it becomes the greatest adventure you could ever have. And I don't know about you, I love adventures. I think most guys do. We love adventures, watching what God's doing and being so close and have the best seat in the house to see the power of God working in and through people's lives. And one of the greatest gifts and rewards of being a disciple and answering that call is you get to do that and see what God's doing. And in God's perfect plan, as we prepare ourselves in that discipleship journey, as we press in and learn what God wants us to know, because he's given us something to tend to, so we need to become proficient at that. When God then brings people in your life and you begin to take them through that material, you are not only reminded over and over again, you are being inspired by the Spirit of God through anointings and through the knowledge to give this person that he's brought into your life even more wisdom, and he continues to expound on the knowledge of these truths that you knew, and just keeps adding and adding, and that's his perfect way. And it also keeps us, when we're pouring into other people's lives, it helps keep us in love with Christ. Because when we love God supremely, what's the temptation? I had it backwards for years. Oh, God, help me to stop drinking. Oh, God, help me to see, you know, looking at that and having these lust thoughts. And God, just admit that you don't love me enough. Oh, ouch. Yeah. You don't. Pray for your heart to love me supremely. Amen. It turned everything around. Man, I fought that stinking butt, you know, that porn thing and that women thing. Man, it gets us. But again, if you're not being affirmed at home, you haven't done with your forgiveness with your fathers, that's a stronghold. That's the avenue. That's the door it's coming through. So you got to make sure you put your, you know, deal with that forgiveness. Allow God to heal that, so that wound that your father made can be healed, so that that affirmation that he could not give you, that only God can give you through the obedience of forgiveness, he'll come in and mend that heart, close that door. But then at the same time, you've got to learn how to help you and your wife grow together, because your next greatest method of being affirmed is through your wife. And if a wife doesn't know how to do that, out of her ignorance, she can be even a vessel indirectly for the enemy to provoke us to go find that affirmation from that toilet that we've been going to for years. Because God made us as men to find, experience affirmation in the depths of our soul through sex. That's the way God made us. We have a wife voluntarily surrendering herself to us and being intimate. We are experiencing affirmation and bonding of soul, our souls together. That's the way God made us. And so that's why it's so important for us to, again, press in and know how we attend to our wife, but also how they attend to us. How do we learn together, get a vision together, and learn how to cooperate with God's process? So this temptation that I have, these thoughts, you know, they don't go away. You know, I thank God I can go long periods of time without some fiery, stupid thought. But then, man, sometimes it just comes on like a darn flood. And when it does, man, you know where it's come from. I rebuke that, Lord. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Thank you for, I've tasted that fruit, man. It stinks, man. It hurts and just separates my soul from you. And I'm in love with you, God, and I want to stay in love with you. And that's my motive. It's not my wife. It's my love for him. And that's what God wants. He wants to be so in love with him. That's our motive for why we do everything and anything. Amen. Everything. But then it doesn't matter what anyone does in response, does it? I don't even care if you like me. I don't. I mean, I like it, but I'm not here for you to like me. If I wanted people to like me, I wouldn't have been said a lot of things I've said to pastors in the last 10, 12 years. And I know by their response after I left that they didn't like me because they never called me again. So there is a reason for strong-willedness, isn't there? There are the Peters and Pauls, and we need those these days. We need more of those. And there are Peters and Pauls in this room. And God wants to use you far more than you ever could dream if you allow him to have his way in your life, where you're at. I promise you that. I want to encourage you again that it was God who brought you up here. It was his timing. His timing's perfect. Don't look over your shoulders and keep beating yourself up thinking, oh God, you know, all the time I wasted. You know what? That's a stupid comment. It's a dumb comment. You know, we know God doesn't look at time like we do. You know? A minute is as of, what, 1,000 years and whatever. I mean, it's he doesn't look at it. So he chose this weekend to say what he said to you, and it's perfect. Yeah. Look forward. Be obedient to what he said for you to do, and watch what he does. Don't let the devil, God says, don't beat that farmer that's constantly looking over his shoulder so his path is like this. Mm-hmm. If Satan gets you looking backwards to the goofball that you've been up to this point, you're not going to want to move forward. He's going to use that to keep you from doing what he's laying in front of you that day to do. So don't let him do that. He has brought you here. He is speaking to you. He has spoken to you. And if you believe this and you say to him, Lord, I desire to obey. I desire to be that disciple. I want to be that husband. I want to be that father. If you're asking God for that, that's a prayer. You can guarantee he's going to say yes. I'm going to do that for you. But we got to ask it. He says, we don't have because what? We ask amiss. Ask him. Again, brought up Catholic. I mean, I thought I had to pull up my bootstraps and keep doing it on my own. You know, I got to try harder. God, because you can't even get out of bed right. Yeah. And I was revelation to me. Oh my gosh, you're right. I can't. There's no way I can stop sinning. There's no way I can be a disciple or be the husband of the Father. There's no way. I brought nothing to the deal, and either did you. Amen. Absolutely nothing. That was so freeing to me to come to understand that. When I came, God took me the way I was, as he did to you. Broken, having nothing to offer except a filthy rag. And he says, I love you. I'm going to redeem you back to your purpose of existence. And now, if you just surrender, let me shape you. That's all he wants to do. Surrender and fall in love. Pray, God, make me fall in love with you. God, help me to love you supremely and that nothing else matters. And that's when the journey and the adventure begins. Quit trying, start dying. That's it. Simple. I want to read something in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. And what these are, a list of qualifications to be a man of God, to be a disciple, to be a husband, to be a good father, and to whatever special, unique calling that God has placed upon your life. And as I read through these, just see if you qualify. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world And the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, whom became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, how many here have that those qualifications? We all fit. If you don't think this is you, then maybe you need to be more humbled, you know, by God. This is who God calls. And I love when you read through the Gospels and you just kind of do some background checks on each one of those apostles that were first the disciples before they became apostles. And you read their background. How God brought such a vast different types of guys to do such a work as the apostles did. It's amazing. So if you fit this qualification, these things just talk about you, then, you know, you're perfect. You're perfect, and that's who God's been looking for. So quit looking at what you think you don't have. And look at this and go, oh, God, I fit that. So what do you have in front of me? What adventure do you have? Remember, it's not what we have offered God. It's what he offers us.
Amen.
And again, I know as a man who's not done yet, still growing through, still learning, I can tell you the adventure that when you finally surrender, there's nothing on earth, nothing you can do, nothing you can earn, no job, no amount of money can even begin to touch than just knowing you're exactly where you're supposed to be with Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's not doing what I'm doing ministry-wise. Is when I found that place with my wife and my kids, I was like, gosh, this is great. I had a season worrying that someone's going to die. Someone's going to get cancer because this is so good. I didn't think it was possible. And I'm not saying my wife are perfect, but 38 years, man, we ain't the same people, and we're still growing. And again, I'm up here. I'm ministering to you, man. I'm sharing things with my wife. Thank you for your patience, your love that you let me do what I do. She lets me. She's behind me 100%. She's a great wife and a great mother. And she's not, oh, there you go again. Oh, you got to go again. Yeah, you got to go minister people. And she sees the calls. She sees the emails. She sees the polling constantly. And she's a supporter. I'm a blessed man. And so I'm telling her, hey, man, thank you that I can come in here and minister like I do. And we need to be doing that. But way before I was called in the ministry, she cooperated with me, and God allowed us and blessed our marriage. We got things in order. We had our families in order. And, man, I'll tell you, at that point, I remember, God, this is the greatest thing. I don't know if I never do anything for you else. And I never had aspired to, but this is so good. I the guy didn't think it was possible. And then he said, well, I got something more for you to do. And one thing for sure for every single one of you in this room, he's called you to be disciples. He wants to use you to pour into other men. But we know we must first be equipped. All of our tools, I share this one more time, are free. I'm advertising right here. It's free. God gave it to me. And he says, now go give it to other people. And I'll guarantee you, if you press in and you prayerfully go through this, it will change your life forever. Because it's the word of God. It's not the word of Craig. You don't want anything from me. He just gave me a unique personality and how I deliver it. More men appreciate than women, but that's okay. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. But Lord, we thank you most of all that we can be your sons. May nothing we do for you ever become so more wonderful than that, God. Guard our hearts. Lord, it's our desire, we're praying together, that we would fall in love with you. God, that every sin and every temptation, every stronghold upon our life, that, Lord, we present it at your feet and confess it. God, we have been loving that more than you. And we're asking, God, for the grace for your Spirit to fill our hearts that dwells within us, your Spirit, to love you more, to love you supremely, to hate everything that separates our heart from you. Help us to identify the consequences every time we give into anything, God, that separates our heart from you. To immediately measure, Lord, the consequences of the poison from it, God. Thank you for what you've done this weekend, Lord. Thank you for what you have before us. Make us the disciples you want us to be, the husbands and fathers. We thank you, we praise you, Lord, and we ask these things in your name. And all of us said,
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you guys.